بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So what Islamic month are we in? What Islamic month are we in? Dhul Hijjah? Dhul Qa'dah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are 12 months of the year, and there are four that are considered as sacred months, months that have sanctity to them. And what are those four months? The month of Al-Qa'dah, the month of Al-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. 4 months. What will usually happen in these 4 months is that if there was any battles that were taking place, any wars that were taking place in the times of the Arabs, they would seize all attacks. They will seize all, they will put down their weapons, and they will not take each other's lives in these 4 months. And it was a well-known fact that if anyone's life was taken, it would be considered as a violation, not only within the Muslim community, but in both the Muslim community and the non-Muslim community. So we understand that there's something called sacredness and sanctity to these 4 months. Today, inshallah, in this brief khatira, I want to talk about the sanctity of life. First of all, is that in our deen, there is something called the maqasid al-shar'iyyah, the five objectives of sharia. When you study Islamic law, whether it's family law, whether it's business law or financial or economic law, criminal law, civil law, any laws and ahkam that you study, you will learn that it will revolve around these five objectives of sharia. What are the five objectives of sharia? It is the protection of life, the protection of religion, the protection of life, religion, property, the protection of health, and the protection of dignity. These are the five maqasid al-shar'iyyah. And when we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today inshallah I want to talk about the dignity aspect. Today we live in a time, we live in a society where so many people, they easily go on social media destroying other people's reputation. They go and they say whatever they want to say, not realizing that they have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his final sermon, the khutbah that is known as Al-Khutbatul Wada', on the day of Arafah, in the land of Arafah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, summarizing Islam, he said that just like this month is sacred, and just like this land is sacred, and just like this month is sacred, likewise your property, your dignity, and your lives and your blood also is sacred. Just like as Muslims we have so much reverence for the month of Dhul-Hijjah, just like we have so much reverence for the day of Arafah and that land of Arafah, that likewise we're supposed to have as much as reverence when it comes to other people's property, when it comes to other people's lives, and when it comes to other people's dignity. Look, today once again we are slaughtering each other's dignity online, and we say whatever we want to say, not realizing that defamation is a serious crime in Islam. When you defame someone, when you try to destroy someone's reputation, then this is a serious crime. So when it comes to these kind of matters, what has the hadith say? First of all, is there was a tabi'i by the name of Hammam ibn al-Harith. He was one time sitting with Hudhayfa radiallahu anh, and someone came and they began to say some very derogatory things. They began to say some slanderous comments against Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh. And at that time, Hudhayfa radiallahu anh, he reminded this person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who slanders against someone else, they will not enter into Jannah. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many other ahadith like this, that a person will be held in the this is a serious crime, and a person will be held accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So in these kind of situations, what are we supposed to do as a community? First of all, is that we have to understand that we are not the judge. The judge, the jury, and the executioner is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we call ourselves People have labeled themselves in the community as judge, jury, and executioner. And the only true judge, jury, and executioner is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you think that a person who takes upon themselves to be judgmental towards others, this is a sign of takabbur? And why do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that anyone who has an iota amount of takabbur will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah? Is because being judgmental towards anyone else is an attribute that belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah can judge, and He can make a judgment about someone, and we, none of us, have a right to be judgmental towards others. So the very first thing is that when we come across these kind of situations, we cannot be judgmental towards anyone else. The very second thing is that till we don't know any story from beginning to end, until we have not heard two sides of any story, then we cannot make a judgment. This is something that is happening, that is not happening in our community. In fact, today we find that public opinion has become the predominant opinion. If public opinion was always the truth, we remember when we go back, and for so many years, there was a time when Muslims, and all over the media, the public opinion was what? The Muslims are there to take the lives of others. Muslims are quote-unquote terrorists. And these kind of things were being said. Why? Because that's the public opinion. But in our deen, there is no such thing called a public opinion, especially when it comes to the matters of others, and it comes to the dignity of others. When it comes to a case, you have to listen to both sides of the story. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, his story is a very good example. That he gave a woman, he saw that his relatives, his family members were living in Mecca. He thought to himself that if I perhaps help the people of Mecca and they will show some mercy, they will show some clemency to my family living in Mecca, they will not harm my family. And later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed via Jibreel alayhi salam that there is a woman traveling through the desert, taking a note from Hatib ibn Balta'a to the Quraysh of Mecca. And the Prophet ﷺ, he sent some Sahaba, including Ali radiallahu anh, to intercept her. And they were able to get that note. And when they came to the Prophet ﷺ, think about Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh. Right away, he jumped to conclusion. He jumped to conclusion without knowing the story. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, this man is a munafiq. Let me take his life. He does not belong within us. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, Umar, let me listen to his story. Let me listen to what he has to say." Think about at that time, anyone would say that this person is a traitor, and they would have labeled him as a traitor. But that is not what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us: you have to listen to both sides of the story, and then you can make a judgment in that kind of situation, that if a person is guilty or a person is innocent. But if we don't know the story, we don't know from A to Z, and there's a public opinion about someone, a brother or a sister, we cannot make any judgment till we don't know the whole story. And in that same thing, I will also say, according to the same token, I will say that if people say, well, it's a public opinion, I go with what the public says. Think about those three people who accused Aisha radiallahu anha. You had the munafiqun who accused Aisha. You had three people amongst the believers who also accused Aisha radiallahu anha. And if someone were to ask them, that based on what evidence do you have that you are accusing Aisha radiallahu anha, what did they say? That this is what's being spread in the community, and we're taking the public opinion. And lo and behold, because they went with the public opinion, they were also punished at the end of this whole story. They were also flogged and they were lashed. Why? Because it's not about public opinion in these kind of situations. It really comes down to how much you know of the story. And likewise, and finally, I will say that when it comes to these kind of situations, people say that if this brother or sister committed wrong, then they need to come out and they need to make a public apology. One are personal matters. One is a communal matter. If someone harms the community, if a Muslim man or a Muslim woman, they hurt the community overall, then that becomes a communal apology. But when it comes to individuals, then you always go back to that person and you make the apology to that person. The community, you cannot demand as a community that this person has to apologize. because we learn that even in that kind of situation, if a person says, I'm innocent, then that matter is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we also learn from the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that there will be accountability in the hereafter, and there will be justice and fairness in the hereafter. And if a person actually has hurt someone in this dunya, and there was a violation of huququl ibad, the rights of others, they cannot go into Jannah till the matters are not resolved between them and that other person. So then you leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are putting, if they apologize, they apologize. If they don't apologize, they are putting their akhirah at risk. Now, the last thing I will say is, what should a person do if they are accused of something? One is that how we should behave as a community, how we should do whatever we can to protect that a person's dignity. But what if a person is accused? What if I'm accused of something that I did not do wrong? First of all, is that we have to pay attention if I am actually guilty or not. If I actually did something that is wrong, that's my opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have sinned, and oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. This is an opportunity to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if our relationship with Allah is healthy, and if our relationship with Allah is strong, then all other relationships are going to be strong. And the second thing is that if I'm absolutely innocent, then remember the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr was quiet. People were saying things at him. People were saying things that were very disrespectful. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as Abu Bakr began speaking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up and left. And he then, Abu Bakr, he went after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, Abu Bakr, as long as you were quiet, the angels were sending their curses upon them. If you're absolutely innocent, then you leave your matter in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is watching. And anyone who plays a role in just trying to destroy someone and trying to slander someone against and trying to destroy their dignity, remember, izzah and dhillah is the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will take your izzah just like you're taking someone else's izzah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us united. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from these kind of fitnas. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.